Been a few weeks ago on this subject of our journey. Going to continue that today and actually wrap up the series today. So would you take your Bibles and go to the book of Acts, the first chapter. As you're doing that, let me say hello to all of our campuses. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries. And I just want to remind you, we're at Palm Sunday today. We're at that day where people rejoice that Jesus was coming into town. This next weekend, we're going to be celebrating Easter, celebrating the Passover at our different campuses, our different locations. And I want to remind you that we will be receiving our annual Passover offering at every campus, either Good Friday or that Sunday or both. And I want to encourage you to be willing to give in that. Ask God what he'd have you to do. Exodus, the 23rd chapter, tells us that during this season that there are blessings that come to us. Six different blessings listed in Exodus 23. And as we come before the Lord, he said, don't come before me empty-handed. Come before me with a covenant offering. And as you do, you can see the blessings of God coming to your life. And every bit of that offering goes to missions. And so I want to encourage you to be a part of that this next weekend. We've been talking about our journey, so I just want to read to you out of the book of Acts today. Would you go to the book of Acts, the first chapter? And I want to read to you one verse of scripture to begin with today. Verse 8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Today I want to talk to you about beyond. Over the past few weeks, we've talked to you about believing. We've talked to you about the process of belonging. We've talked to you about beginning to serve. We've talked to you about becoming involved in a small group, a connect group. Today I'm going to talk to you about beyond. I want to talk to you today about changing lives to change our what? World, right? Changing lives to change our world. As I begin to think about this day, I begin to look at this whole process here, and over the past few weeks as we've talked about the journey that God has us on as believers, that when we begin to look at that, what we understand is this, is that God begins a process in our lives. When we come in a relationship with Jesus Christ, he begins a process with us. But it's up to us how we live out this journey. How many of you have ever got ready to go on a trip and remember how excited you were? Right? Now, how many of you about 2 days into that journey, am I talking to anybody? You were going across the country and you were so excited to go, but you know, being stuck in a car or flying across the world or whatever it is. Most of you know about me and missions, and I don't mind doing missions. I just mind getting there, all right? My whole problem is, when they lock me in a plane for 15 hours, we need Jesus and all the angels to show up, okay? Because it's not a pretty sight for me. And a lot of us are that way in this journey of Christianity. It's kind of like, man, we started off great. Everything was wonderful. We loved Jesus. We were sold out. But if we're not careful, we begin to kind of get in the method of just living out and clicking off another mile and doing another thing and being involved in this, that, or the other. And yet, what God's called us to do, and today what I'm going to talk about, is reaching beyond, getting outside of ourselves, getting outside of that place where it's all about us. Because here's what I found out. As long as you're looking inward, as long as you're looking within yourself, you're never, ever going to fulfill the destiny that God has for you. Now, in the book of Acts here, the Lord tells us, as he is getting ready to go back into the heavenlies, the Word of God says that he looks at his disciples and he says, guys, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and I want you to proclaim the good news in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. How many of you know that means that we're called not just to one location? Amen. I hope you're taking notes or something, reason you didn't respond right then. Right, now let's ask that question again. How many of you know we're not just to be at one place and it's one that God's called us to go out and beyond? And so in Acts, the first chapter in the sixth verse, would you look there real quickly? Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. Listen to this question that they asked Jesus right before he tells them what they're to do. Here's what he said. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel. Now, let's set this up for you. The very first thing Jesus preached, in fact, if you'll go study, his very first sermon was repent or change your mind, for the kingdom of heaven has arrived. And for 3.5 years, Jesus has talked about the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. Here they are, 3.5 years later. These are the guys. I mean, these are the apostles. These are the ones who he's poured his life into. And they look at him right before he ascends in the heavenlies, and they go, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Look what he said there in verse 7. I don't know if it probably went on the screen. He said this. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. Now, I think he's just blowing them off, all right? I really do. I think he's just saying, look, you guys are missing it. You guys don't understand. Because what they're focused on is they're focused on their religious world. They are focused on what they have always been taught, and that was for thousands of years they had heard Messiah was coming. But what they had been taught all of that time was that Messiah was coming to establish the Jewish nation and that it was going to rule the earth. And so Jesus has talked about the kingdom, but they still don't get it. And so he looks at them and he says, guys, let me just help you. Don't worry about the time or the date that it's going to come. But he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. And then once you receive that power, I want you to be witnesses in Jerusalem, your hometown, Judea, which is your county, and Samaria. Now, let's talk about this for a minute. Here's what the Lord's telling us. He's saying to us, I want you to get outside of your walls. Right? How many of you know we have a lot of different walls we build? Right? We have religious walls. That's what's happening here in this passage. It's a religious wall. They're saying, Lord, you have to do it this way. You have to show us your power this way. You have to come about this in the way that is only through the Jews. And so here's what Jesus does. Jesus messes with them. Jesus says, go to Jerusalem. That's hometown. That's Jews. They're okay with that. He said, don't stop in Jerusalem. Go to Judea. Well, that's the county. That's the surrounding area. They're okay with that. But then he goes and he says, and oh, yeah, by the way, go into Samaria. And it was like the record screeched. What is he talking? Samaria, we don't have anything to do with those stinking Samaritans. Hey, I said it nicely. They would have said it much more vehemently than I just did. These were people who were mixed race people. These were people who the Jews felt superior to. These were people who kind of served an amalgamation of the Jewish God and wove in a lot of other things. And the Jews didn't want to have anything to do with them. And Jesus said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go, and I want you don't just go to your own kind. He said, I want you to get out of your box religiously and go to people who don't believe the way you believe. Now, let me say something to you. Every religious institution has traditions. Amen. Even non-traditional churches, non-denominational churches, whatever, we have our traditions. We do things this way, and this is why we do them, and on it. And tradition is not bad, except when we make tradition equal to God. When we say, this is the only way you can worship God. You got to worship God in Jerusalem. And he said, no, you can worship me in Judea. Well, okay, we can worship him in the land of Israel. No, you can get outside the land of Israel, and you can go to Samaria. Wait a minute, now you're taking me out past where I can believe. I don't know. You know what? Those people over there, they're religious, but I don't know about their religion. You remember the time in Scripture? Are we okay today, or I just need to talk to the campuses? You remember the day where the apostles came to Jesus, and they said, Lord, we caught some guys preaching in your name. Remember this in Scripture? And they said, we told them to shut up. Okay, it's not what King James says. We told them to hold their peace. Shut up. Because they weren't part of us. And you ready? Come on, you ready? Jesus said, leave them alone. Because if Christ is preached, that's the important thing. Uh-oh. You know what? I think a couple of things are going to happen to us when we get to heaven. You ready? Number one is we're going to be surprised we made it. I know all you secure people aren't worried about that, but some of us that don't have eternal security, we're a little concerned, all right? I won't deal with that. The second thing that's going to be surprising are the people who made it that didn't come out of your tradition. People who you didn't think had a chance because they didn't go to your church or they didn't read the Bible the way you read the Bible. Now, I'm not talking about the cardinal truths of who Jesus is. But I'm just talking about it's interesting how we can fight over three scriptures that we don't agree with, and there are thousands that we do agree with. Amen. I mean, people get mad and split churches, quit going here and there because somebody believes that Jesus is going to come at the beginning of the tribulation and somebody else believes he's going to come at the end of the tribulation. Listen, I don't know when he's coming. Whenever he's coming, I'm ready. Right? If you believe he comes before, during, after, or there's no tribulation, which I'm voting for that one, it doesn't matter to me. I mean, if we're voting on it, I vote for that one. Anyway, so there's this whole thing about religious walls. The second thing, and hang on a minute, the second thing is racial walls. See, because we like, you ready? You know I'll go boldly where nobody else will. We like to hang with our own kind. Well, Pastor, don't you understand that, you know, We ought to have white churches, and we ought to have black churches, and we ought to have Hispanic churches, and we ought to have... I can't find it. I can't find it. What I do find is when we get to heaven, every nation, every creed, every tongue, every color is going to be around the throne of God. Now, if that's what's going to be around the throne of God, don't you think we ought to start figuring that out down here before we get there? That's why Jesus said to them, hey, it's not just about Jerusalem, Judea. Get out of your, not only your cultural tradition, but also get out of your racial tradition and go into Samaria. And then, oh yeah, if that doesn't mess you up, just go to the whole world. Just get out there where everybody is, and it doesn't matter what their social status is. It doesn't matter what their economic status is. See, in America, what we have found is, it's called homogenous groups. And what we found is that most churches are made up of people who look alike, make about the same kind of money, drive the same kind of cars, and live in the same neighborhoods. All right? And it's called a homogenous church. We all look alike, we all act alike, we all think alike, and we all pray alike. Well, here's what I heard years ago. Somebody told me that if two people think exactly alike, one of them's unnecessary. Right? Let me just drill on this a minute. You're sitting beside people today who didn't vote for who you voted for in the last presidential election. It was fun here at the North Campus to go in the parking lot during the election. Because I'd see Romney on this car and Obama on this car. And I just said, God's got to sort it all out. I don't care. Boy, it gets quiet in here. Well, God's a Republican. God's a Democrat. God's sick of all of them. You say, why? Because they keep passing ungodly things. That's why I know that. All right? God doesn't vote Republican. I know all us white people just got a little nervous. All Okay, all of you, all the rest of you, listen to me. He doesn't vote Democrat either. He's not an independent. Well, he is independent. He is the Almighty. He kind of does what he wants to do. In fact, the Bible says he puts up and he brings down. See, you need that in your life. We need people who don't agree with us. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. And sometimes when iron sharpens iron, sparks fly. But that's okay. That's all right. To not be, and you know, we have most of our churches, most of our campuses are not a homogenous group. We got rich people and we got poor people. We got middle class people. We got upper middle class. We got lower middle class. We got whatever it is. We've got, you know what? I think that's what it's supposed to be. That's what the kingdom of God, that's why Jesus said to the disciples that go into all the world and bring them into the kingdom of God. So we've got to get outside of our walls. Secondly, is we've got to get outside of our dreams. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible says the Apostle Peter stood up and he preached a sermon and 3,000 people get saved. Now I'm going to tell you, that was beyond his wildest dream. He did not dream that he was going to preach a sermon and 3,000 people get saved. And boom, the Lord just blew it up. A few days later, he and John are on their way to prayer, seeing a certain lame man at the gate beautiful who's asking for alms. Peter said, "Silver and gold we don't have, but such as we have, we give you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk." And the Bible says that day about 5,000 men are added to the church. In just a few short weeks, Peter has seen 8,000 plus people come into the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, his mind is blown. His dream, whatever his dream was at that point, he is in another land at this point. And then just a few verses later, in Acts chapter 5, it says, "And multitudes are added to the church." They just quit counting. They said, "It's too many. We don't know if it's 5,000. We don't know 8. We just don't know." See, here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. Small dreams limit God. There's too many Christians whose God is too small. Amen. The Bible says he can do exceeding, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think. Come on, how many of you can think some stuff? No, come on, really? I mean, my mind can go some places. I can think some crazy. Have you ever been around kids? You ever been around 3-year-olds and 5-year-olds? They can fly. I mean, before R. Kelly ever thought he could, they were flying. The kids' mind, they got rockets going. I mean, they got, why? Because their mind. And God says, "Listen, I want to help you. I want you to understand that you have got to come to that place where you don't limit me by dreaming too small." What is it in your life? Listen to me. What is it in your life that you've dreamed too small? What area is it about your world that God says, "I want to explode it. I want to take you to places that you would never, ever believe." But your dream is too little. You know what? I hope some of you listening today that feel called to ministry say, "I'm going to build a church one day. It's going to have 100,000 people in it." Woo! Pastor, now you done gone crazy. Do you know what they tell us about the Jerusalem church by 70 AD? They tell us that the Jerusalem church was somewhere well in excess of 100,000 people in a town of probably 500,000 people. If the kingdom of God started off that way, why shouldn't it end up that way? Amen. So small dreams, let me go. Not only do we need to get him outside, or get ourselves outside of our dreams, we also need to get ourselves outside of our abilities. See, we have a tendency to too often allow our abilities to keep us from achieving what God wants us to achieve. The Word of God in the book of Acts, the fourth chapter, I won't read it, but I'll just tell you what it says. Verse 29 through 31 talks about, and they pray a prayer, and they ask the Lord, they said, Lord, give us the power to stretch forth our hands and to heal the sick, to perform miracles, and for great and powerful things to happen. And the Bible says that when they prayed that prayer, that the house that they were shaking in, were assembled in, was shaken. Now think, wouldn't it be great if God had shaken the house? Amen. You know what makes God shake the house? You ready? When you quit trying to do this and you start saying, God, do this. When you quit trying to do what your abilities can do and you say, God, blow us up, get us past the point of what we can believe for and help us to believe that you are able to do more than we can ask or think according to the power of the Holy Spirit. See, understand this. The Holy Spirit enables us to do the impossible. Do we really believe that? Or do we just think, well, that happened in the Bible? You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they had that, Acts and Romans, but we don't have that anymore. Really? If they raised the lame man up, if they healed people, if the Apostle Peter looked at Ananias and Sapphira and said, you lie, you die, how many of you believe the next week when everybody came to church wasn't anybody lying? Right? I mean, I believe before they walked in wherever they were meeting, they said, did you lie this week? Yeah, go over there and pray, right? Now, don't go in the house, because remember last week. I bet tithes and offerings went up that week. Right? I mean, it's like, remember they said they gave and they didn't give. We giving this week. I've said for years, you don't have to have an Ananias and Sapphira experience. You just got to get real sick. Well, we'll move on. We won't hold that one. They're freed from prison. A woman's raised from the dead. And the Bible calls these men, watch what it says about these men. The people of the area said, these are unlearned fishermen. They were so far beyond their abilities, and yet God used them, the scripture said, to turn the world upside down. What is it that God can do with you? What is it God can take in your life, in your world, and use for His glory, and that all of a sudden you begin to see things that you never, ever dreamed of? See, we're talking about going beyond, getting outside of where we are. What does beyond mean? Well, let me say this to you. Beyond means sharing my faith. Amen? Now, I don't mean that. When I say share your faith, I don't mean that you got to walk into work every day, you know, with a big Bible under your arm and big old cross hanging down, tattoo across your head, Jesus, or... Right? I don't think you have to have a car that we can't tell what kind of paint it's got on it because it's got so many bumper stickers on it that, you know, read the Bible, get right, get left. You know, whatever all these things are. Because I don't know about you, when I see one of those cars coming, I go park at the other end of the parking lot. I don't want to engage that person, all right? You know how you share your faith? Now, yeah, you can do it with words. I think that's a great way. But you share your faith by your lifestyle. People watch you. And when you live for Jesus and you live like Jesus, it doesn't mean you're perfect, but people notice that there's a difference in your lifestyle. So you share your faith. Secondly, is that we show love in concrete ways. All right? The scripture talks about, you can say, I love you, but if you see somebody who's without a coat and you know they're freezing, don't just say, I love you. Give them a coat if you got another one. Right? I mean, we all see people, and we're so jaded in our society, and understandably so. We see the people with the signs, and we know that they say, we'll work for food, and we know they won't. That doesn't mean we shouldn't give to the poor. The Word of God says you're to give to the poor. Right? You say, well, Pastor, I gave to somebody one time, and they took it and used it for buy booze. That's not your problem. I mean, unless you shared it with them, then it's your problem. But gotcha. The Bible says man looks on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. In other words, God sees why you did it, and whatever they do with it, it's not your responsibility. That's between them and God. When you bless somebody, right? And we need to do that. What would happen? Just throw this out. What would happen if you determined that every week you were going to do at least one act of showing love in a concrete way? Just say, I'm gonna determine this week, every Love and Truth Church, every person hearing me today says, I'm gonna decide this next week and for the next several months, I'm gonna do an act of kindness once a week that somebody's gonna know. You know what? It would change the atmosphere, is what it would do. Because you're making a difference. You're getting outside of yourself. And lastly is local and global outreach. Getting outside of just these four walls and what's happening here. All right? We know that God has a mandate upon His church. I'm not just talking about Love and True Church, upon the church to go into all the world. I want to tell you something. We have an opportunity here on a number of occasions throughout the year to go on missions trip. And I want to encourage you. If you've never been on a missions trip, I want to encourage you to sign up and go on a missions trip, because it will change your world. Because, see, here, let me say this to you. We as Americans are so spoiled. Okay, I'll use church words. We are so blessed that we're spoiled. Right? But go to a developing nation and meet brothers and sisters in Christ who don't have anything. Well, hang on a minute. They'll outpray you. They'll outworship you. We get bored after 15 minutes, and I've been in those services. They're still singing at 2 hours. And they're loving every minute of it. They will sell everything they've got to go hear the gospel preached somewhere. And as Americans, we get a little antsy when somebody asks us to pay our tithes. See, God's called us to reach the world. Every one of us has a point. You may never go, but you can bless somebody else to go. You can give somebody else the opportunity who wants to go. Maybe you don't want to go. Maybe you don't feel that. But God's called you to be outside of yourself. Every one of our churches, every week, tithes on the tithe. And every bit of it goes to missions. We don't touch it. It goes to missions. Why? Because we believe that we need to be making a difference in the world. Amen? Now, let me close with this. Over the past 5 weeks, we've talked to you about this journey. Here's what I know, is that all of us are at different points of the journey. Some of you here today, you may be at the very beginning of this journey. You may not even have come to that place. Whatever campus you're at today, you may not have come to that place where you have invited Jesus Christ into your life. That's the first thing you've got to do. You've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. There's no other way to be saved. Your good works won't save you. Your grandparents being a Christian won't save you. The only thing that'll save you is coming into that relationship with Jesus Christ. Once you come in a relationship with Jesus Christ, then the Word of God says that we need to belong. We need to come together with other believers. We need to be in a local church. Amen. I mean, if we are physically able at all, we need to be part of a local house. That was a great place for a rousing chorus of amens. No, you're too late now. I don't want it. So not only do we need to believe, we need to belong, right? Then we need to begin to serve out of the giftings that God has for us. Whether that's through an iServe team or another ministry, that we determine, you know what? I am going to serve God with my abilities. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. And then last week we talked to you about becoming part of a small group, becoming part of a connection point, a connect group within one of our churches or a part of an iServe team or something that gets you in relationship. And 51 times in the New Testament, the Word of God talks about one another. That happens in groups. That happens one-on-one. That happens with a small group as we come together. And then today we talked about getting beyond ourselves. Now here's what I want to tell you. I know, as I started off saying, that moments in that journey, sometimes it's not near as much fun as when you started. And there are moments as a Christian that you feel like giving up. You feel like, I don't want to go on. Why should I? Some of you have been disappointed by Christians. Some of you have been disappointed by churches. Some of you have been disappointed by God. And it's like, why should I keep going on? Nobody notices. Nobody knows the sacrifice I gave. Nobody understands what I've had to go through. Nobody cares. And yet the Word of God says that God takes note of everything that we do. See, it's easy to see what I do week in and week out and say, well, everybody sees what he's doing. And I got it. They do. But you know what? God sees what I do, but he sees what you do just as much as everybody sees what I do. And there are those moments that we want to quit. I don't want to totally mess your world up, but there are moments that I don't want to go to church, and I get paid to come. There are times I don't want to read the Bible. There are times I don't want to pray. There are times it's just like, you know what? I'm just tired. Am I the only one? I'm going to quit. I'm not going to go. God knows I love him, but I'm not going to be involved in the kingdom anymore. I know I'm going to go to heaven one day, but you know what? Wherever you are today, maybe you're in that valley of the shadow today. Maybe you feel like everybody's forgotten you. Maybe you feel like today you've been overlooked. I want to encourage you. The Word of God says that if you keep on keeping on and you don't faint, in due season, you're going to reap. God has noticed everything you've ever done. Everything. Every aspect you've ever done. I had somebody come to me, not at one of these campuses today, but somebody came to me a while back, and I was preaching somewhere, and they said, can I tell you something? I said, sure. And they were asking for prayer, and they said, I almost didn't come to church today. I said, okay. And they said, I just told the Lord, I didn't feel like coming to church. And they said it was instantaneously that they heard the Lord speak to them and say, I didn't feel like going to the cross. And they said, Pastor, in 20 minutes, I was ready and I was at church. You know what? In those moments when you don't feel like serving, when you don't feel like showing up for your iServe ministry, when you don't feel like teaching the kids one more time, when you don't feel like singing one more song, when you don't feel like praying one more prayer, just remember that God sent his only begotten Son to save you and to save me. And if I don't get anything else, the rest of my life, I'm going to serve him for what he's already done and what he's already given.